Almost always people misdiagnose their problem. Let's say that you're a cardiologist, Jennifer, and I come into you and I say, Jennifer, I've had chest pains. I Googled it. I need a heart bypass. Are you going to give me a heart bypass?
This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to episode 55 of Frankly MSP, a podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. Let me ask you, what's niftier than a free gift? Why, 10 of them, of course. It's December, well, almost, and that means it's time for the MSP Nifty Gifty. Just like the MSP Summer Treat Wave you may be familiar with, the Nifty Gifty is 10 days of gifts for managed service providers, that's you, from 10 channel sponsors. This year we have Ovic, Technology Marketing Toolkit, that's the Robin Robbins folks, BrightGage, Axient, Sophos, The Channel Company, ID Agent, LionGuard, Warranty Master, and WebRoot, all on deck to hand out free goodies like software licenses and training sessions and ebooks and conference passes. Each day of the event, you get to unwrap a new gift. Plus, we've got the biggest grand prize in TreatWave and Nifty Gifty history, worth $1,900, and it's got things like a commuter scooter, a Sonos speaker, Star Wars Lego, Apple AirPods, and tons more. To enter, because why wouldn't you? It's cool stuff and it's free. Just go to ovic.com/nifty-gifty and complete the form. That's ovic.com/nifty-gifty, NIFTYGIFTY, to get 10 free MSP gifts and a chance at the $1,900 grand prize. My guest today is business coach Anthony English, who's also the author of a short ebook called How to Sell Your IT Services Without Feeling Salesy. Anthony comes from an IT background with a lot of experience in Unix and large-scale data migrations, so he understands the IT world and the IT mindset. These days, he's focused on helping people take the pressure and anxiety out of sales conversations. He has some great tips for us, so let's jump right in.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovic Networks.
Hi, Anthony. Welcome to the show.
Delighted to be here, Jennifer.
There's a lot of standard business wisdom, like the standard sales wisdom, and you hear this all the time, is that people make buying decisions based on emotion only, and then they try to justify it later rationally, but the decision is made based on emotion. And you disagree with that premise. So tell us why.
I do disagree with it for the same reason that you're not merely an IT person. You're a human being. The way that we work in IT, how does it work? There's chaos. There's some urgent problem. A system is down. There's panic. And what do? Okay, first we assess the thing. We're not moving from emotion, from impulse. We're not saying, well, we just make a rash decision and then later on we'll justify it. That's not what we do. Well, that's not what anybody actually does. So what do? We assess, right? We size up. How are things? What is the problem? What is the impact here? We look at the human dimension, but we don't divorce the emotions and the rational like that. We put the two together, we work out, and then we come up with a plan. Isn't that what we do?
Yeah, it is. And you have this really neat quadrant that you've talked about. So tell us about that value quadrant.
So it's very simple. Let's take the emotional side of things. Here's what happens when you actually buy something or when you actually sell something. People are buying because you're going to make them feel better. You're going to give them a sense of hope, a sense of courage, a sense of opportunity. And so emotionally, yes, you are selling to them something that's going to, if you like, press their buttons. But you're also getting some emotional reward. Now, this is something that doesn't always sit very well with us. We're the rational IT people, right? But we're also getting an emotional reward. We're getting that sense of belonging, that we know what we're doing, that we feel like we're justified, that we've got things under control, okay? And so that's an emotional thing. But that's only one part of the equation is the emotions. The emotions for you as my buyer and the emotions for me selling to you. But, hey, we're not just here for the emotional side, right? You're running a business, and if I'm selling to you in B2B, in business to business, you've got to get some financial benefit from investing in me, right? There are four reasons that people are buying, four boxes, if you like, that we want to tick. Yes, they want to get an emotional return. You've got the emotional return yourself, that recognition, if you like, of who you are. But you've also got a financial or some other benefit. We might call it ROI, return on investment. But basically that it makes sense for them to use your services. Because if they don't, the risk is very high for them. Okay? And then there is a financial benefit for you as well, which is because you're running a business, it's not a hobby. You're not doing it just because you love technical stuff, you know?
Right. So we've got the four boxes: emotional reward for your client, top left, emotional reward for you, bottom left, financial value or ROI for your client, top right, and ROI for you, bottom right. So to me, the financial reward for you as the seller and the emotional reward for you as the seller seem pretty straightforward. I understand where those would come from. You know, I made a sale, I feel great. What does an emotional reward look like for your client, and how do you build that? How do you deliver that?
Well, it really depends on where they're coming from. Simple example, if I'm talking to a technical person, I might refer to the OS, and to the people listening to this podcast, they're all going to know OS is operating system. But if I'm talking to somebody who's got no technical expertise, I might just speak about computers. I work in computers. So by using that term OS and not explaining it, that's saying, hey, we belong together. We're in the same club. We're in the same tribe. But if I'm speaking to a baseball person, somebody who doesn't understand baseball, I have to use different language, because it's always an away game. You're always playing on their territory and trying to listen for what it is that they want, what it is that they're really after.
So how do you do that when you first meet someone? Is it really all about making good small talk?
That's part of it, allowing them to, but that doesn't need to last for very long. The question is, I mean, look, from years and years in IT, there's one principle that we all know, and that's the customer is always wrong, right? You don't trust. If I tell you my website's running slowly, what are you going to do? Are you going to accept that? Or what do you mean it's running slowly? How do you know? When did this happen? You're not just going to accept, oh, okay, I've got to do the speed up the website thing. You're going to break it down. That's exactly what I do. Very simply, the customer is always wrong. Let's say that somebody says to me, hey, I need a new website. I've got a website, but I need a new one. All right, I need to upgrade it. My website is out of date. I need to fix it. If I'm a website person, I might say, great, I do websites. How many pages do you want? What kind of touch and feel do you want on your website? What other websites do you like? But that would be the wrong line of questioning, in my view. And I could speak about all my technical expertise. Hey, I'm an expert in WordPress, and I know how to build a Squarespace or Wix website, and I can do all of that technical magic, and I can integrate it with e-commerce. I could go down all of those lines, but that's not the way that I would do that at all. I would not talk about my technical skills. I would not talk about my experience. I would be doing it a very different way. I'd be asking this question: why do you think you need a new website?
So searching more for the motivation that brought them to you.
Almost always people misdiagnose their problem. Let's say that you're a cardiologist, Jennifer, and I come into you and I say, Jennifer, I've had chest pains. I Googled it. I need a heart bypass. Are you going to give me a heart bypass?
No. No, I'm going to assess the situation and confirm.
Okay, because I may have indigestion. You may give me an amazing heart bypass and I still have chest pains afterwards because I'm actually not chewing my food properly.
And then they're going to be mad at you for making you do the chest bypass and paying for the chest bypass when it wasn't what you needed.
A brilliant heart bypass too.
Yeah.
So Jennifer, I need a website.
Why do you think you need a website?
Exactly. That's the question to ask. You've already got a website. Why do you think you need a new one? So here's the line of questioning I'd be taking. is not, oh, this is your lucky day, I do amazing websites. I would be saying instead, Jennifer, you need a website? Jennifer, if that website was an employee, what would be its job description?
So now we're getting into, what do I want the website to do for me? What are my goals? What are my outcomes?
Exactly. Who says you need a new website? Maybe you do, but the customer is always wrong.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
How do you apply that to a situation, to a cold call, for example, where they may not have come to you with a request, but you're just going in cold? What kind of question would you ask then?
So a cold call is somebody really not expecting to hear from you and who has perhaps never heard of you before. Then we really want to find out first who we are speaking to and why do they care. So cold calling has got its own challenges. I'm not against it, but it does have its own challenges. Let's try it a different way. Let's try an occasional and incidental meeting, not necessarily at a networking event, but an incidental meeting with somebody. You really want to be hearing what their language is. For example, I did a website for a dry cleaner once. The first interaction ever I had with this dry cleaner, he was a man in his 70s. He had been in dry cleaning for all of his life. He knew the business very well. And my first ever interaction, the first sentence he ever said to me, he was struggling with something on his computer, something very easy probably. And he said, "Technology and I don't get along." Okay? So the first thing that I'm going to do is to affirm him in that and say, "Hey, that's okay. I'm not going to tell you, but it's really easy. What's wrong with you?"
What comes next?
I would ask him, "What are you trying to do?" He'll probably tell me, "You know, our dry cleaning machine is down. We've got a queue of customers out the door." First thing I want to do is get these customers looked after, get them out the door so I can get their clothes and, you know, just keep track of things. So his priority is nothing to do with technology. His priority is caring for the customer there. So how can I help him do that? How can I help him say, "Look, you've got a lot of balls that you're trying to juggle at the moment. Let's drop a couple of them and that's okay."
So now we're more of into almost like a business conversation and business consulting versus focusing on the tech right away.
Yep, exactly. Nobody is buying technology from you. Let me try and sell you some root canal surgery, Jennifer. Are you ready?
Yeah, I don't need a root canal.
Okay. Yeah, listen, I do amazing root canal surgery, so I'll tell you about my technical expertise. I've been a dentist for 20 years. I use the latest equipment. I use the latest techniques. I'm really gentle. Can I interest you in some root canal surgery?
Sorry, no. I don't have any problems with my teeth.
That's the way that many, many, many IT people and technical people and coders try and sell their services.
A lot of MSPs will say, "But every business does need IT support." They do, like, not everyone has problems with their teeth, but everybody has IT and everybody needs to maintain that IT.
Yeah. Okay, agreed. But do they know it? How aware are they of their problem and how much is their painful problem? Do they think there even is a solution, or are they saying, "Well, all of you IT people, you're all the same. You don't know how to talk to us. You talk all of your gobbledygook, you are all talking technical language and I'm getting lost." Well, you're just yet another MSP if that's how you sell your services, right?
So what's your recommendation?
You find out what the business problem is. You don't talk technical at all. You say, "Well, like, the IT is there to serve your business. What's your business? What's going on? How's it coming along? And why do you care? Why does this matter to you?" If you try and sell a very, very fast website to the dry cleaner, it's only got a few dozen customers or a couple of hundred customers who never log on to the website, you're selling the wrong thing. He doesn't care. A lot of us, when we're selling our services, we try to avoid hearing the word no. And I don't try that at all. In fact, when I'm selling my services, I will tell people, I don't think you are in my target market if they understand that language, but let's talk anyway, because I'm not selling to them. I'm not selling at them. I'm saying I am not here to get a yes or a no. I don't actually mind. I don't want to get a yes just to make the sale. I'm not there to get a yes or a no. I'm there to find out, are we a good fit? Take the pressure off yourself and think, I don't want to get to this money conversation and I feel awkward and they feel awkward. That's not how I do it at all. I think we say, well, look, here is the problem. This is the expensive business problem that you're trying to solve. Here are your options. These are not working. This one will work.
So really, we need to convey financial or some sort of business value, but we also want to build an emotional relationship while we're doing it. And to me, it sounds like you can accomplish both of those things if you just ask some honest questions about their business.
Yeah, absolutely. You are really trying to understand what is their business problem. You don't have to go deep into the numbers, but you want to understand what is their business problem and why do they care? Your service as an MSP or as a IT infrastructure or a cloud services, whatever it is, your service is the tool, is the mechanism to get them from A to B. Here is where you are right now. Let's be really clear about that. And here is where you want to be. So this is a very classic copywriting technique, pain, and then the dream, and then the solution. Usually what most of us try to do is we speak about the solution. We're trying to sell root canal surgery. But instead, we say, here's the pain at the moment. Let me understand this really deeply. That's where most of the conversation happens. Let me really understand what you've tried to do, why it's working, why it's not working. Then let's paint the dream. What if? If this were to work, if this were easy, what would that look like? And then we say, well, guess what? I can take you from A to B.
And when do you bring in the conversation about price?
Once you understand the value of the business problem, why it's important to them. So you may consider, well, what is the immediate benefit to them of going through all of this pain of taking on a new MSP, for example? Why should they do it? Why can't they just stay put? So they need to understand what's the immediate relief they're going to get, the immediate pain relief. What's the long-term benefit they're going to get? You've got an MSP, you are paying maintenance on hardware you don't even know what it's used for. We're going to cut out that hardware cost or the cost of the technical debt. Here is what that cost is. 5 inches, the immediate benefit. 5 miles is the long-term benefit. And if you don't do this, what's going to happen?
So are you asking them to envision that for themselves? You're saying, here's the pain. I can get you to this promised land. If you choose not to go to the promised land, do you ask them to imagine what would happen or do you paint that picture for them?
Exactly. I say, well, you do have this existing service provider who hasn't been responding to your SEV1 calls and your systems were down for 2 days. You had enormous grief. You worked through the night yourself and you're not a technical person. Why would you stick with that? How are you protecting yourself from that happening again?
So I know you have written a book about how to sell without being salesy. What would you say is the key takeaway from that?
You were doing really 3 phases in the conversation. Phase 1, what is the problem and can we solve it? And do we even want to solve it? Phase 2 is, what's the value to them emotionally and financially of solving this problem? And phase 3 is, here is the investment. Hey, I think it's worth it, but it's up to you. What do you think? That's the closing question to close the sale is, so what do you think? It doesn't have to be that hard, the whole sales conversation, especially for technical people. They have a big advantage because they have such credibility.
Well, excellent. Thank you for joining us today, Anthony.
You're very welcome, Jennifer.
That was Anthony English, business coach and author of How to Sell Your IT Services Without Feeling Salesy. Anthony sent me a couple of great articles that explore some of the concepts that we've talked about today. One is on the value quadrant we discussed, and the other is about the three phases of the sales conversation that Anthony mentioned near the end of his interview. I'll put links to those articles as well as a link to Anthony's ebook in today's show notes at avik.com/franklymsp/055. Remember to sign up for the MSP Nifty Gifty at avik.com/nifty-gifty. And don't forget to grab your tickets for Frankly MSP Live in January before it's too late. Go to franklymsplive.com to register and book your room at the luxurious Ritz-Carlton Bacara Santa Barbara. We have secured special room rates for you. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks. The most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.